Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Welcome to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. And today we have Jana with us, and we're so excited to have you join us. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored.
So this is going to be great. I mean, you're doing so many different things. So, and I want to talk about that a little bit later on about all your different projects, but how did all of this start?
It's hard to, it's a little difficult to pin down as far as when I actually contracted Lyme disease. I have whispers of possible infection at a very young age with just extreme exhaustion that really has kind of hampered me for most of my life. But it was in college when I got my first diagnosis. I would possibly proclaim it actually a misdiagnosis of fibromyalgia. And that's really the moment when I feel like Lyme disease had me, and it just slowly deteriorated from then. And it would be, 15, almost 20 years later before I was officially diagnosed.
Wow.
How horrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought my 7 years was 7 years too long, but 20 years. Wow.
Yeah.
I just can't believe it. But yeah, I think that was my first diagnosis too, was fibromyalgia.
Yeah,
I think we get that a lot, and I thought, well, okay, I can do this, and read books about it, went to the library, checked all the books out, reading about it. I'm like, yeah, it sounds a lot like me, but these people are able to function, and they can keep living their life. So I'd go back to the doctor, and I'm like, no, I mean, unless I just have fibromyalgia times a million, because I'm way exasperated by what I'm supposed to have with this. I think I have something else. No. It's just really bad. And you're just really tired, and you work too much, and you're too stressed. And that's what we get. So, wow, 20 years later. So what did you, what were your symptoms when you started out in college? It sounds like you kind of really started diving into figure out what's wrong with me.
Yeah. So that fibromyalgia was the first real resounding boom.
And what did that look like? I mean, what symptom-wise, what did that look like?
So for me, it was the fatigue and malaise, some level of depression, and the migrating pain, muscle pain. It would get into the joints. And I was a dance major. I went to the University of Montana for dance. I'd been dancing since I was 3 and always dreamed of being a professional dancer. And that first year of college, I actually failed my dance class, which was not me, I was, not to be too boastful, but I was a good dancer and classically trained, and failing that dance class was a real eye opener. And so beyond the fibromyalgia, which ultimately kind of ended my dance career, really, it was by the 5th or 6th year, I was dancing professionally with a dance company and having to bow out of certain pieces and unable to perform because I was just in too much pain. So the next real scary symptom that appeared was dizziness. For maybe 6 months, I dealt with these crazy dizzy spells that would come on, and it wasn't a dizzy spell. It was like a dizzy couple of hours, and I would just sort of be trapped in this dizziness. There was kind of brain fog and dissociation accompanying it. And at that time, I had really good health insurance, thankfully, and went through just a slew of tests. They tested my blood pressure. They did a test to search for a hole in my heart, an extensive inner ear exam. And the one that really scared me at the time was MS. They did test me for MS. And of course, all of those came back negative. And eventually, like is so typical of Lyme disease, but a lot of people don't realize, is that these symptoms can come on and flare up and then just go away. And that's what happened with this dizziness. It just resolved and I went on with my life.
Still fatigued and still in pain.
You know, the fibromyalgia as well would kind of come and go. I would have really bad flare-ups. It would get bad, so bad that, you know, like my boyfriend at the time and even my husband now during treatment would have to help me to take off a t-shirt because I couldn't lift my arms above my head to get my clothes off and get undressed. And but that too would come and go. And so I just kind of was like, okay, this is my life.
And cognitively, I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, brain, you know, any kind of cognitive symptoms that you were experiencing as well.
Yeah. So those came later. The next probably real big symptom that I noticed was a tremor. I started to get a tremor in my hands, and it wasn't every day. It wasn't all the time. I feel like when it first started, it was mostly in the morning. And so I would brush it off as, you know, too much coffee on an empty stomach or something along those lines. You know, I'm just really tired or what have you. But it just got progressively worse as time went on and got to the point where, you know, back when I still wore makeup, I would have to hold one hand with the other in order to apply mascara, for instance, or I would poke my eyeball out. Or, and especially as a dancer, it became sort of this, I don't know, big ugly beast on my shoulder because I was so used to being graceful and agile and, you know, these things. And all of a sudden I kind of felt like this, you know, going down a set of stairs was this very jouncing descent, you know, because my legs were just trembling as I attempted to walk downstairs. So that was the next one. And then migraines. I began having migraines, and that I think is about the time when the brain fog, memory loss, and the real kicker, and the one that really bothered me, was difficulty with word recall. Mm-hmm. I all of a sudden I would just be at a loss for words and stumbling, and it's not as though I was searching for big fancy words like juxtapose or something along those lines. You know, it was simple words like constant or, you know, and the memory loss, you know, Alzheimer's runs in my family. And so always at the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, I have early onset Alzheimer's, that type of thing.
That must have been scary. I mean, kind of seeing family and how they go down that road and mm-hmm. thinking that you're starting early on that journey. Yeah.
And certainly the MS continued to resound in my brain, like, oh, maybe I didn't have it then, but I do have it now.
Yeah.
And so it was really scary. And it was the exhaustion. I got to a point where I was unable to hold down a full-time job. So I started waiting tables because that was, you know, I could at least make some cash, and the shifts were 3 or 4 hours, typically. And I could kind of handle that. But unfortunately it wasn't great for my bank account.
No. And so during this process, I mean, was it still just fibromyalgia that they had you labeled with, or were they, because they couldn't find any other labs that were abnormal, right? So they couldn't stick anything else on you.
To some extent, there was a long spell there where I didn't have insurance, which is really part of why I went so long being undiagnosed, which is an unfortunate reality in our country right now. And I see this all of the time on blog, on, you know, people on the blog groups, you know, I can't afford to do this. And what do? I can't, you know, go into credit card debt, take out a loan. And so for that reason, I really didn't go to the doctor for a span of probably 10 years or so. After that medical search that failed with the dizziness and that resolved, shortly thereafter, I lost that job, in fact. And I think that's about the last time I had insurance. And so I really never had any testing. I was just kind of struggling and doing my best to make it through life. And to some extent, I just felt as though, okay, this is my lot in life. And at some point, I think I convinced myself that everybody else experienced this type of exhaustion. I just wasn't as good at dealing with it. Mm-hmm. So it was in 2017 when I had a number of really scary events happen that finally, it was the last straw. It was like, okay, I can't ignore this any longer. I already knew instinctively that something was really wrong with me. And that also played a factor in my not going to the doctor because I was afraid of what they were going to tell me.
Oh, really?
But I had a series of 4 events. It started with a really bad migraine. I always had visuals. That was my migraines. Very rarely did I actually get a really bad headache. I just had really bad visuals. And this migraine in particular came on really strong. And once the visuals cleared, I was left in this brain fog that lasted for like 3 days. I just felt as though I was stumbling around. I remember one morning in particular, sitting at breakfast with my husband, and he was talking to me, and I was just staring across the table at him, certain that he was producing sentences that made sense, but I couldn't. I just wasn't able to process what he was saying to me. And again, fear kind of kept me quiet. I remember nodding and laughing when it seemed appropriate, or smiling when it seemed appropriate. But it stuck with me, this migraine. That finally resolved. And a couple of days later, I felt as though I was getting sick. Looking back, I realized this used to happen a lot, where I would feel like I was coming down with a cold, and then it would just go away. I never actually got sick. And so that happened for about a day and a half. I was convinced. I was like, this is it. I'm going to wake up tomorrow with strep throat. And it just went away. I felt fine the next day. Took like a 3-hour nap that afternoon, went to bed. I woke up the next morning and I was fine. Then within a week, probably, I started my period. And that is a symptom that had actually dogged me for at least 5 years. I had the most excruciating periods. I can't even describe them. I have never had a child, but if childbirth is much worse than this, I can't imagine why anybody ever puts themselves through that. They were just so painful. And this one made all of the other ones look like child's play. My husband actually, at one point while I was bent over the bathtub about to vomit because the pain was so intense, was like, honey, do I need to take you to the hospital? Like, are you okay? And like always, I took my ibuprofen, wrapped a heating pad around myself, slathered lavender oil on my abdomen, and just Lamaze style breathed through it until it finally subsided. But I remember waking up later that day or that morning. My periods always came at like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. It was very cruel. And so once it passed, I was able to get back to sleep exhausted from the pain. I wake up the next morning and I just thought that was not normal. No. This is not okay. And then the last one, the real kicker, that's particularly fun to talk about, was a really frightening bout of diarrhea. I was about to walk out the door for work that morning and had a sudden urgency to go to the bathroom. And I was literally still sitting on the toilet, trembling and sweating and in pain, when I luckily had my cell phone in the bathroom with me, and I called the doctor's office right then and there and said, I need to see somebody now, today.
Yeah. Wow.
And from there, I was extremely fortunate and blessed that a Lyme literate doctor had just moved to town and was at the Bridge Medical Center, which is a naturopathic facility. And so she wasn't completely booked up yet, and I managed to get in with her, and she, you know, the appointment probably took about an hour, but she pretty much immediately knew it was either Lyme disease or she suspected possible mold toxicity. Mm-hmm.
So what made you go to a Lyme literate doctor? Did Lyme cross your mind? Oh, somebody sent you there.
It was just fortune. I was already on sort of a naturopathic path as far as medicine was concerned. I was a licensed massage therapist, and through the course of that certification, and my past history with Western medicine, I had pretty much written off Western medicine.
Right.
And so they're the only naturopathic facility, or they were at the time, in my area. And like, it was just fortune.
Okay.
It was just pure luck that she is the one that they set me up with, and that she happened to be a Lyme literate doctor.
Yeah. Cause she was the one that had appointments available, and she just, yeah, that's incredible.
Worked the way it was supposed to.
So how did she determine whether it was Lyme or mold or both?
She put me on a series of medications. It was all herbal at that time to weed out one or the other. I can't remember, and I don't have a record of what she put me on. I know that one of the medicines was Artemisian or Artemisia. Mm-hmm. But she sent them home with me and I started taking them right away. I can't say this definitively, but in my mind, the thing that was the factor for her was that I had been running a low grade fever. And none of what she put me on had cleared that up or stopped it, as well as the irregular bowel movements. But I remember I called and checked in with them about maybe a week and a half to 2 weeks after I started this regimen and gave them an update of what was still going, excuse me, what was still bothering me, anything that had been improved, and you know, what was the same. And she said, it's time to come in for a Lyme disease test. So I went the next day and had the blood work done, and 3 weeks later got back my 100% CDC confirmed Lyme disease results.
So even CDC said that you had Lyme?
Yes.
Oh.
Wow, that doesn't happen very often.
No. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Do you know what testing they went through?
It was Igenix, and it she was. Did okay. the... You know, because she's a Lyme literate doctor, I think it's the Western blot that a lot of people don't get. Is that correct?
Yeah, Western blot is usually falsely negative quite frequently. Igenix, yeah, they do it a little bit better. So you're yeah. more likely to have a positive result rather than a false negative.
Yeah. And it did show multiple forms of the bacteria, so she was able to determine as well that I had been infected with the disease for at least a year. But through my intake with her and the symptoms that I had been having, she's convinced that I had had it much longer, possibly even since childhood, early childhood.
And did they test for co-infections as well?
She didn't at that time. I think I had some symptoms that were worrisome enough to her at that time that she wanted to get right on the Lyme disease. But almost immediately, we suspected Bartonella. I got within the first couple of weeks of starting doxycycline what my doctor referred to as Bartonella toes. just really bad, painful rash on my toes that eventually spread to my hands. So she was aware that that was highly likely. And she suspected Babesia as well, right off the bat. But we didn't actually confirm that. I think there were, like I said, some other things that she wanted to get control of and minimize some of what was going on before we attacked the co-infections.
Yeah.
But I was eventually, she did eventually test me for both of those, and I was indeed positive.
Yeah, with those kind of moving body pains, you know, that's classic for Bartonella, obviously, and Babesia with a, you know, the fatigue and the, you know, vertigo and all of that. Yeah, mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow, that's a long journey to get that diagnosis. So yes. did they ever test you for the mold, or was it just the co-infections later, or did she determine if you did have mold?
No, she did indeed test me for mold. It was fairly long into my far into my battle before she tested that. But she did eventually test, and she told me that she had never seen higher mold toxicity levels. It was like,
oh, wow.
The highest levels she'd ever seen.
Wow. Okay. So then where did it go from there? What type of treatment did she start you on?
So she gave me the option of doing just antibiotics, just all natural herbs, or a combination of the two. And I chose the combination of the two. As I already stated, she started me on doxycycline. And I was always on a host of other medications that were supporting, you know, my gut health, my immune system, preventing yeast overgrowth, you know, all sorts of things, that as well as some herbals to help attack different forms of the Lyme bacteria. I know I was taking berberine for quite some time. We did cat's claw. And so, yeah, that started my 2.5 year battle. And it was a very long, lonely, and frightening journey.
Absolutely. You described that perfectly. It's you know, we go through so much to, or a lot of us do anyways, go through so much to get our diagnosis mm-hmm. that, you know, we lose hope before we even know what we have.
Yes.
And then we get our diagnosis. And for me, I was super excited. I'm like, finally, somebody believes me that something's wrong with me. And then mm-hmm. once I started looking into what is Lyme disease, because I thought it was just something dogs got, I thought, oh, I'm not so sure I really want to have this. So yeah, it is, you know, whether you have the support of your family and friends, which sadly, so many don't out there. But even if you do, and I had an amazing support system, I still felt very alone, very, very alone, very isolated, no matter how much help I had. So it definitely is. So did you do oral antibiotics or IV?
I did oral.
Did they rotate them up, or were you just on one specific one?
Nope, she rotated them. I saw my doctor every 2 months, and we would do a thorough review of all of my symptoms. And she would then determine, depending on, you know, which symptoms were presenting most overtly, determine which antibiotic to switch me to, or other herbals to help attack different forms. So I was started on doxy. I did rifampin. I did ceftonir. I did minocycline, Bactrim. So just a rotating, sometimes more than one at the same time. It was just a rotating list of medicines depending upon where she felt we needed to really focus on.
Okay. At the time. And then you were doing the other herbals and stuff to kind of help support your body.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do the IV or the antibiotics for the full 2.5 years?
I did. Yes.
Okay. Do you recall, any type of Herxine? Did you do any Herxine?
Oh, gosh.
Yes. What did that look like for you? And were you able to come up with something that helped you through it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Herxine was a big one for me. And for a number of reasons, I imagine I could have been better at controlling the Herxine, but I think there was a part of me that was so determined to kill this thing and get it out of my body that I probably pushed myself a little harder as far as reaching that maximum dose.
I hear that a lot. And I tell people that, you know what, overkill, you can overkill just as you can underkill. You don't have to kill yourself to get there. But it is when, you know, we've struggled for so long to get a diagnosis, we finally get when we just want to go and kill. And, you know, detoxing is such an important part of this journey that sometimes people don't realize it. So don't overkill yourself, because the Herxine will kill you.
it can, actually. Yeah. So for me, the Herxine, it really depended on what medication I was on and what part she was attacking. It ranged from feeling my tremor getting really bad, feeling like I didn't have control of my legs, this horrible feeling of faintness, like I was going to pass out, heart palpitations, those were the most overtly scary, but looking back was when she put me on Cemento and Banderol to attack what was going on in my brain. My brain was Herxing so badly, I don't even think I really knew it.
Yeah.
Because Cemento is brutal. It was my brain that was being attacked. And I remember my husband telling me that I looked like somebody who was just a little bit stoned all the time.
Wow. Okay.
But I, you know, as I remember very vividly getting lost in the grocery store one day. It was like I was pushing around this cart and there were all these products on shelves, but I didn't know what I was looking at. And I had to call my husband and have him talk me through the grocery store. Apparently I actually called him on my way there because I was lost. And I don't remember that. Wow. So I didn't drive for a couple of months after that trip.
Right.
I also had a number of near car accidents during that time as well, because I was just like unaware of where I was.
We are absolutely kind of in our own little world, doing mm-hmm. our own little thing, you know. Like you mentioned earlier, when your husband was talking to you, I felt that way so much. Like I'm watching somebody's lips, they're talking to me. I'm sure that they're having a normal conversation to me, and all I hear is wah, 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 wah. Like I have no idea what they're saying. So I can't even try to comprehend, because they're not even saying words. And you just sit there and just look at them, and they've got to just like be able to look right through you. Like, she is just hollow. There is nothing there. And there really isn't. But yeah, very, very scary, very sad. So what type of detox protocols were you doing?
So my doctor certainly had me on medications that were meant to help bind, detox, and get them out of my system. But really the thing that I found most comforting was hot Epsom salt baths.
Yeah.
That was my real go-to. I would just soak and try to kind of meditate even, and imagine the dead bugs seeping out through my pores and exiting my body. I would get out, and my husband would do skin brushing on me, light skin brushing as well. That was a real biggie for me. And it's one that I recommend a lot to people when I'm on blogs and people are worried about it. Alka-Seltzer Gold, really kind of saved my life with nausea and that type of thing.
I hear that a lot. And during my journey, I didn't know anybody that had gone through Lyme. And I didn't, wasn't on these Facebook groups. I just didn't know anything about it. And I wished I did, because I had never even heard of Alka-Seltzer Gold. But now I recommend it to a lot of people, even though I don't have personal experience, just because I hear so many good things about it.
Yeah. It was really a lifesaver for me. So those are the two things that I really relied upon the most, I guess three, with the light skin brushing as well. I found really helpful, not just because I felt like I was doing something physically good for my body, but mentally it just felt nice. You know, it was kind of relaxing.
Yes.
And you know, those are the things as well that made me at some point, I want to say I was probably 6 months into my journey, I determined that I no longer wanted to feel like a victim, that I wanted to be a warrior and take a more active role in my healing process. And hot Epsom salt baths for me was part of that, stepping up and, donning myself with the appropriate battle gear. That was my way of feeling like I had some control over what was going on in my life and in my battle.
Right. And so we've actually had recently a couple guests on, and they talked a lot about your mindset and how it played a huge role in their healing. So once you kind of decided that, okay, you know, this is what I've got. These are the tools that have been given to me. I'm going to do everything I can to get better. I'm going to get better. Like you said, you know, you kind of visualized all these spirochetes leaving your body when you were in the bath. What kind of a role do you think that played in your healing, your mindset?
Oh, I think it was a game changer, really. I began to not only see myself as a warrior, but I also began to view this, what I was doing, as my job.
Yes.
And, you know, instead of feeling, you know, especially in our society, we've got this pressure to work and raise children and do all of these things and be super active all of the time. And so there was this sort of guilt always at the back of my mind for the first couple of months of feeling like I should be doing more, or, you know, I needed to get back to work. And so when I decided not to be a victim, to be a warrior, I also began to view my daily activities as my job description at the time. And my job was to heal my body and to take as good a care of myself as I could. And that entailed, you know, getting up, taking my medicines on time, putting the right food into my body, making sure that I was rested. I joke and say, you know, I had a proper attire, which was pajamas. And, you know, that was my job description. And so I think it really changed my attitude a lot. And like I said, made me feel like I had a little bit more control over what was happening, instead of just feeling like I was being drug along against my will, you know, down this terrible, miserable road.
Right. And feeling like you, oh my gosh, I got to take my medicine again, or I've got to do this, like feeling like it's such a chore. But that, you know, that was one of the things, if I could go back in my journey and change, it would have been to quit my job sooner than I did. Because I went about 6 years, and it was the day I was in court one day for work, and the judge asked my name, and I didn't know my name.
Oh my goodness.
That was when I decided, okay, these doctors tell me nothing's wrong with me, I'm crazy, whatever, something's wrong with me, and my full-time job has to be to figure it out and get better, or I'm going to die. And it was that day that just changed for me, because I quit my job. I closed my business. Yeah. I moved back to my hometown to be closer to my family. And it was a full-time job taking care of myself and going through the treatment. And so that's my one regret, is that I didn't trust my instinct enough to know something was really wrong with me, and and continue to try to fight through it. You know, I'll just go to work and then just come home and go to sleep and then just do it all over again. That's no way to live.
No, it isn't. And you certainly aren't alone in that.
Right. Exactly. So was there any part of your treatment that you really feel like was a game changer for you? I know you did both herbs and antibiotics. And a lot of people do. Some people do one or the other, and then a lot of people do both of them. Was there any part of your journey that you really think just kind of turned the corner for you?
Yes, there was a couple of things. So figuring out that my adrenals were not functioning was huge. My adrenals were so low, I nearly had Addison's disease. And so starting that medication and getting on adrenal meds was huge. Also, my doctor eventually tested my progesterone and testosterone, and I wasn't producing enough of either of those. And so I started on that type of hormone therapy as well. Gosh, I feel like there was one other thing and it just left my brain.
The adrenals for sure is mm-hmm. really big. Can you, just for the listeners who maybe don't even know what that term means, can you kind of tell them a little bit about your symptoms that led them to know that your adrenals were off?
Really, I think it was just the fatigue. Even after, you know, really some of the medicines that she had me on that should have kind of relieved some of that. And I was still just really struggling. And it was mostly in the morning. I would get up and I would be okay. And I would just absolutely crash at about 10 o'clock in the morning. So I believe that was the biggest symptom. It's often honestly difficult for me to really nail down what symptom was being caused by what.
Right.
Because we had so many of them. I had so many of them that it's really difficult to say, you know, it was this that caused that. But in my mind, it was that just pure exhaustion and fatigue. That was my main symptom of the adrenal function lack thereof.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. And it's, you know, when you're talking to somebody that doesn't have Lyme, mm-hmm. and we kind of joke about it, you don't get it till you get it. Mm-hmm. But the fatigue is not even, I wish we could all brainstorm together and come up with a different word, because mm-hmm. fatigue doesn't even hit it. Because I know people, you know, whether they work too much or, you know, they're a busy mom, they get fatigued and tired. But it's way beyond that. It's you mm-hmm. can't even describe the exhaustion that you have. I mean, I was so exhausted. It was work to breathe. Just to breathe was exhausting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so we really do need a different word to describe the fatigue that Lyme people feel.
Agreed. Yeah. You know, there's a weight to it. A heaviness is what I remember and feel the most, is just feeling. I imagine those days, the way the exhaustion felt was as though I was trudging through quicksand, dragging behind me a dead body or a dead weight of some sort. It's that heaviness. There's a weight to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely is. It's not mm-hmm. the normal.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
So, well, and so today you feel amazing.
I do. I feel great. I would be remiss to not admit that I've been in therapy really ever since I was declared in remission by my doctor. About 3 months before she made that declaration, I began experiencing flashbacks and panic attacks, night terrors, and was diagnosed with complex PTSD. So life after Lyme disease, post Lyme disease, has really, it's been beautiful and it's been amazing. And I've learned so much and grown so much. But it has been much more difficult than I ever would have imagined. You know, you get done with this battle, and I remember sitting in front of my window and watching people jogging by and riding bicycles and thinking, God, I can't wait until I'm healthy again. I'm going to become a marathon runner, or, you know, get back into dancing and be that professional dancer that I always dreamed of being. But the truth is that psychologically, it's been a challenge. And if there's anything that I really want to leave listeners with from our time together today, it is from what I believe is the reality that psychotherapy should really be an everybody protocol for Lyme disease.
Completely agree.
We really don't think enough about the trauma of what we experience. And, you know, to be diagnosed with PTSD, you only need to experience one traumatic event. And as Lyme disease warriors, we suffer trauma on a continual daily basis for days, months, years on end. And the reason I wrote my book and started my blog is because I felt so scared and alone the entire time I was battling. And like you, I was fortunate. My husband was amazing, which is a whole nother topic that really those people who take care of us should get lots of accolades
right.
to, because I can only imagine how traumatic it was for him to watch me go through what I was going through and how scared he must have been for me. But even with that support from him, it was traumatizing, and I'm still processing that trauma and learning how to live a life that isn't determined by chronic illness or ruled by chronic illness. So my mission really with my blog is to just help others feel a little less scared and alone, to have somewhere to go with all of those crazy questions that come up. You know, do phases of the moon affect your symptoms? Like, yes, they do. You know, I woke up the other morning and my tongue was black, which happened to me, by the way. You know, am I dying? Why is my tongue black? This is so scary. Like, this is something that you can Google and find on the internet. And as we go through this battle, there are just so many of these crazy things that happen with our body, and every one of them just piled one on top of the other is terrifying. You know, one of those symptoms alone can be unsettling and scary, but when you've got 50 to 100 of them and they change daily and come out of the blue, it's really scary.
It's very scary. And that's mm-hmm. that's a very good point to make to the listeners, is that it is just as much a physical illness as it is an emotional illness. I know so many that, you know, have beaten this, and their lives have taken a complete turn for, you know, what they used to do. And it's based yeah. on their journey that they went through. So mm-hmm. it definitely is, it can affect our mental wellness without
oh,
a doubt.
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
So I'm glad you brought that point up, that and there's, we know there's no shame in that whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. So, no, there isn't.
Wow. And so you've got your blog and mm-hmm. you've written a book.
Yes.
What is your book titled?
My book is The Battle Within, My Lyme Story. So it's a memoir, and I cover really from childhood all the way through my my therapy with PTSD. So all the way through my Lyme disease battle, and then through my PTSD diagnosis and the amazing journey that I had with EMDR therapy and my therapist. Some really beautiful things happened in that therapy, those therapy sessions with her. And so I share all of those, all of that as well.
Oh, that is so amazing. Now you're going to make me want to go grab it so I can read it. And all the listeners, you have us on that little cliff now. We got to know. And yes, we will put the title to both of those, your blog and your book, in the title to your podcast, so those listeners can go back and look at that, and they know how to reach out and find that information from you. So
excellent.
That's amazing.
I hope they do. You know, reach out, ask those questions, vent, let people know when you're scared. There is a vast community out there that I don't know if it existed when I was battling Lyme disease and just didn't know how to find it, or if it's just really grown in the 5 years since, 3 years since I've been in remission. But there are a lot of people out there, and there are more and more, I feel like I'm seeing more and more people like you and I who've been through it, who are there answering questions as well and saying, you know, yes, I experienced that too. You're not alone. This will get better. Keep fighting.
Yes, there are. And I see that time and time again in these groups, you know, the Facebook groups that we're talking about, how people will make a comment that, you know, no, the people that get better, they leave these groups. And I'd like to say a few years ago, I kind of saw that a lot. But anymore, like you said, I see a lot of people advocating for the Lyme community on there. And, you know, you do it with your blog, your book, and we do it with this podcast that we do. So we want to let them know they're not alone. We absolutely know how they feel because we've been there firsthand. Yes. And we made it through on the other side, and there is hope. And you need to change that mindset and know that you can get better and find your why of why you want to get better. And you can do it. So, well, Jana, thank you so, so much for taking time to share your journey with us. It's been very inspiring. Your journey was a lot longer than most, but still not as long as some others. We just absolutely appreciate your time and joining us today. Thank you so much.
Just cut out. You're frozen.
Oh, did we freeze? Am I there now? Okay.
We came back.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know how much I missed of what you just said.
I'll just say that we just really appreciate you sharing your story with us today to give those listeners that inspiration and that hope to know that they're not alone and they can get better. And the world on the other side is a lot better. It could be a lot different, but it's also a lot better. So thank you so much for sharing with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here, and keep fighting, Limeys. You'll get through this.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Information this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.